Hi there, and welcome to this computerweekly.com podcast with me, Anthony Adsett, storage editor at Computer Weekly. With me today, I've got Jeff Denworth, who is co-founder at Vast Data. Hi, Jeff.
Hey Anthony, how you doing?
Very good, thank you. Good to have you along. And
Thanks for
today,
having me.
we're going to be talking about agentic AI and the impact it has on IT infrastructure, storage infrastructure, etc. So the first question I've got for you today, Jeff, is what extra challenges does agentic AI pose for the IT infrastructure?
It's a very broad question. We could take this a lot of different directions, but okay, so to start, I think it's important to point out that this is a, in some respects, it's an entirely new form of business logic and a new form of computing. And so the first question becomes, well, if you want to run AI models, and agentic, systems are generally reasoning models. Coupled with agents that can perform tasks by leveraging reasoning models, as well as different tools that have been allocated to them to help them accomplish their tasks. Well, these models need to run on very high performant machinery. And, it's no secret that today's AI infrastructure oftentimes runs best on GPUs and other types of AI accelerators. And so the first question becomes, well, how do you prepare the compute infrastructure for this new form of computing, right? And here you have all sorts of different customers that we work with that talk about things like deploying AI factories, RAG, which is retrieval augmented generative AI, as well as AI agent deployment tends to be the kind of I guess the initial use case that people think about as they start to deploy these AI factories, and these become, tightly coupled systems that require fast networks that interconnect very, very fast AI processors and GPUs, and then connect them to different data repositories and storage resources that that you might want to go and feed these agents with. Now, the interesting thing about agentic infrastructure is that agents can, they can ultimately work across a number of different data sets and even in different domains. You have kind of two types of agents. You have agents that are what are called just kind of like workers, and then you have other agents which are supervisors or supervisory agents. And so if I want to, do something simple like, well, seemingly simple, let's say, like, develop me up a sales forecast for my product while kind of reviewing all the customer conversations and the different, let's say the different databases or data sets that could inform my forecast. Well, that would take me around to having agents then go and work upon and process a number of different independent data sets that may not even be in my data center. A great example is if you want something to go and kind of process data in Salesforce, a supervisory agent may use an agent that has been deployed within Salesforce.com to go and sort out that part of the business system that it wants to process data on. So the first question becomes like, well, how do you define this pipeline? How do you scope out all of the various different data sources that you may want to process on? How do you size for what you would think is kind of a nominal operational workload, such that you've got enough compute resources for the steady state? And then, then the compute discussion takes you down a path of data center and power infrastructure readiness, which is a whole different kettle of fish because some of these new systems, for example, the GB200 NL72 systems from NVIDIA, which are, very, very tightly coupled racks of GPUs that have very fast networks between them. Well, these require something like 120 kilowatts per data center rack, which most customers don't have. And so then you start working through the considerations of, okay, once I understand my GPU requirements, where can I deploy them Is that in a colo? Is it in a data center I have? Is that potentially hosted in some cloud or neo cloud environment? Neo clouds are these new AI clouds born in the era of AI. And so it's I'm sure you've talked with a lot of different companies about this entity, but there's like so many different facets of the decision making that come into play when people think, okay, I want to start deploying agentic workloads.
Thanks, Jeff. So the needs there appear to be ones of scale and performance. And I'm wondering how that translates into what are the key challenges for storage infrastructure in particular in an agentic AI deployment?
Sure. Just as with the first question, it's really multidimensional. I think the first thing to kind of to size up is what is storage in agentic AI? And this is something that is, I think radically changed since people started training AI models, where most people have generally worked under the assumption that if you have a good and fast file system, that's good enough. And so, the difference here is that, when people were training in the AI sense and even fine-tuning, oftentimes this is like very well-curated data sets that get fed into AI machinery, and you wait a few hours or a few days and out pops a new model. And that's kind of the level of interaction that you have with underlying storage systems, other than that storage system also needing to be able to capture intermittent checkpoints to make sure that if a cluster fails, you can recover from some point in time in a job as opposed to having to start over. Now, if you think about agents, a user gets on a system and makes a prompt, and that prompt will then send the agent to do some sort of almost kind of like unpredictable level of computing, where the AI model will then go and look to work with different auxiliary data sets. And it's not just conventional storage like file systems and object storage that customers need. They also need databases. If you saw some of the announcements from Databricks right now, they're talking about how AI systems are creating more databases now than humans have. And data warehouses are particularly important as AI agents are looking to reason across large scale data warehouses. And so anything that requires analytics requires a data warehouse. Anything that requires an understanding of unstructured data not only requires a file system or an object storage system, but it also requires a vector database to basically help AI agents understand what's in those file systems through a process called retrieval augmented generative AI. And so the first thing that needs to be wrestled down is kind of a reconciliation of this idea that there's all sorts of different types of data sources, and all of them need to be modernized or ready for the AI computing that is about to hit these data sources. Now, if you think about it, I like to kind of look at what's changed and what hasn't changed in the market. And it's true that there's all sorts of new applications that are being deployed in the form of new applications that use reasoning agents, and they use reasoning models as part of their business logic. But there's also a lot of legacy applications that are now being up-leveled to also support this new type of AI computing. And so our general conclusion is that pretty much every single business application in the future will have some component of AI embedded into it. And there will be a whole bunch of new applications that also will be AI-centric that we haven't planned for or don't exist yet. And so the common thread is that there's just this new style of computing that's happening at the application level on a new type of processor that historically was not popular within the enterprise, which is a GPU or an AI processor. But I think the thing that people don't realize is that the data sets that they'll be processing on is a lot of historic data. And so whereas the opportunity to go kind of modernize a data center is greenfield at the application and at the processor level, or at the compute level, the brownfield opportunity is to go and modernize all of the legacy data infrastructure that basically today holds the value and the information that these AI agents and reasoning models will look to process around. And so then the question becomes, well, why would I modernize, and why is this important to me? And that's where, you know, Anthony, you said scale. That's where scale comes back into the equation. And so I think it's important to kind of checkpoint on where we're at with respect to agentic workflows and how that will impact the enterprise. It's fair to say that pretty much anything that is routine or a processed bound approach to doing business will be automated as much as humanly possible. And so there are some examples of many organizations that are not thinking about a few agents across the enterprise, but hundreds of thousands to, in certain cases, hundreds of millions of agents. You know, NVIDIA, for example, made a very public statement that they're going to be deploying 100 million agents per every, well, 100 million agents over the next few years. And that would be about at the time when their organization will be 50,000 employees. Now, if I put these two statements together, what you have is a roughly a 2,000 to 1 AI agent to employee ratio that you might think about planning for. And if this is true, you know, just a company of 10,000 employees would have a requirement for large scale supercomputing infrastructure just to process this level of agency. And so I think about it in terms of what the drivers are to modernize infrastructure. And if just half or a fraction of this level of AI agent scale starts to hit a standard business, then every single legacy system that's holding its data will be incapable of supporting the computational intensity that comes from this level of machinery. And this is the thing that has us thinking that we may be embarking on what could be the world's largest technology refresh event in history. You know, probably the most recent one up until AI hit the market was virtualization, where that created new demands at the storage and database level. And that same thing appears to be true for AI as different customers that we work with start to really rethink data and storage infrastructure for large-scale agentic deployment. That makes sense.
Sorry, I was muted there. Thanks, Jeff. Yeah, that makes great sense, and it's fascinating. And what I'm really getting from it, in a way, if I was to sum it up in a few words, is we're talking scale. So the final question is, I wonder if you could sum up, is how can customers of storage in particular ensure that their infrastructure is up to the job for agentic AI? Sounds like quite a task.
It definitely requires some level of focus and understanding the customer workload. But I think one of the things that I see happening across the market is also over rotation, where you know infrastructure practitioners will not necessarily understand the needs that are coming from either new business logic or potentially you know, AI researchers, and so they tend to overcompensate for the unknown, and that's also pretty dangerous because what that does is it creates, I think, bad. It just creates a bad taste in the mouth of organizations that are starting to ramp into different AI initiatives where they realize, okay, we overbought here, we bought the wrong stuff here, and so I think the first thing that I would say is that there are best practices that are out in the market that if you don't know, should definitely be adhered to. You know, NVIDIA, for example, has done just a really terrific job of helping articulate what customers need and sizing according to different GPU definitions, such that they can build infrastructure that's both general purpose and optimized, but not necessarily over-architected. The second thing that I would say is that hybrid cloud strategies definitely need to be reconciled, not only just for infrastructure as a service, like, Do I deploy some stuff in my data center? Do I deploy some stuff in different AI clouds or some of the large public cloud environments, but also different SaaS services, software as a service services. The reason that I say that is that a lot of agentic work will happen there, right? You now have, for example, Slack that has its own AI services in it. Pretty much any major SaaS offering also has a an AI subcomponent that includes some amount of agents. And so the best thing to do is sit down with the application architects team, which, funny enough, a lot of our storage customers don't necessarily all have close connection to. The second thing you need to do is sit down with the database teams. Why? Because, as I mentioned, not only do enterprise data warehouses need to be kind of rethought and reimagined in this world of agentic computing, but there's also new types of databases that are required in the form of vector databases. And these have different requirements both at the infrastructure and compute as well as it's at the storage level. And then finally, there needs to be some harmonization around what will happen with data center as well as what will happen across different clouds. And of course, you need to talk to the different vendors that you work with. VAST has a whole, kind of practice of helping people with this. We've got something like roughly about 1.2 million GPUs that we've been powering around the world. And there's all sorts of interesting approaches to not only sizing, but also kind of enabling future-proofing of data systems by understanding how to kind of continue to scale if it has different AI projects. They stick and they prove to be successful.
Thanks, Jeff. As I say, that's been fascinating. We've probably not really got much more in the way of time for this podcast, but it's been great to have you along.
Thanks again for having me.
Yeah,
Happy to talk more.
thanks very much. It's been awesome. Till next time.